day. If life gets hard to understand, the whole thing is getting out of hand. Come to Papa, come see your Papa. If you need.
Well, thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and you are listening to episode number 116. 116 times we have produced a show for you to ignore. I get no. Well, hopefully, you're listening. Today, I sat down with two friends of mine. One guy I've known for a number of years. I don't know him that well, so it was a lot of fun to sit back and get to know David Von Urban a little bit better. He is a Prescott native, living in Prescott. He's kind of right in between there, Prescott and Prescott Valley. He is a father of two, and also joining us, David and myself, was Nate Peabody, a good friend of mine that I see on a regular basis every week. Nate is a new father. His son Elias just turned 2 years old. And I sat back with the two of them so we can compare notes about what it's like being a dad these days. Are we prepared for it? Are we doing more damage than good? And what it means to be a father in 2016. Dave is a he married into a ready-made family. His daughter was, I believe he said, 4, and now she's 15-ish or so, and then he has a new 4-year-old as well. I, of course, have a 7-year-old. You have heard him on this show time and time again, little Anthony, who's 7 years old. And like I said, Nate and his wife, Anna, who have a little 2-year-old at home. I had Nate on my radio show for KQ&A 2 years ago. It was when he was expecting his little boy. He had not quite entered into this world yet. And that, I think we talk about, I don't know if we talk about it off mic or on mic, I don't remember. But his interview on radio got cut short. That was the day that that Robin Williams had passed. So in the middle of the show, right when Nate was coming on, DJ Phone, Dave Phone over at KQ&A came in, and he and I did a little impromptu session talking about Robin Williams. Dave is a fan, myself as a fan, but I also had the opportunity to meet and talk with and photograph Robin Williams a few times over the years. So we talked about that, and we cut Nate's segment short, the expected father. So I have since then been wanting to sit down with Nate to record something, and we're able to do so today. So we hope you enjoy it. This episode was recorded at Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley. Gabby'sGrill.com is where you can find out information on Gabby's, on Jim and Kelly Cabral, and on their staff who took great care of us and put up with us as we recorded this episode. Again, myself, Dave Von Urban, and Nate Peabody just talking, swapping stories about not only growing up, but raising kids. Now, that ties right into our sponsor today. We got a couple. First off, my good friend Steve Simone, comedian Steve Simone, who hosts a podcast on the All Things Comedy Network, Good Times with Steve Simone. The basis of his podcast and of his comedy in general is that of the good times you had growing up. So I thought it was a good tie-in here. Steve's new CD is not, well, let's see. As I'm recording this, it's not quite out yet, but it may be by the time you're listening to this. Check out awesomesteve.com. Again, awesomesteve.com for links to Steve's tour information, links to his podcast, and his new CD, his new audio download or CD that you can order a hard copy of. It's called What's Up, Nerds? And it is chock full of stories of Steve growing up. the middle brother of three in Philadelphia, just stories of kids in general, some hilarious routines on there. I had the privilege of being present when he recorded that in front of a live audience at the La Jolla Comedy Store, the famed comedy store near San Diego, California, a couple months back. I was there to listen in as he recorded it, to actually play a little part in helping record it, take some photos and things. It's a real treat because it's not every day you get to listen to and download and experience family-friendly comedy. And that's what this album is. This is his second album. The first is also available at awesomesteve.com. But Steve Simone's comedy is fairly family-friendly. Every once in a while, a word or two that I would bleep on this podcast sneak through, but not on What's Up Nerds, his latest release. It is completely kid-friendly on the language. There is no profanity in it. He was very proud to do that because he likes his comedy to be experienced by the entire family. Now, I personally am a big comedy fan of all kinds. Some of my great memories are listening to the comedy albums of the pre-rapist Bill Cosby, the old ones, even before himself and all those. But some of those oldies from the late 60s and early 70s, we used to put them on our turntable at home, turn off the lights, and listen to stories of old Weird Harold and playing street football and Fat Albert and my brother Russell and all those things that we used to listen to from the old Bill Cosby albums. I still have some of those scrolled away on my shelf. Jonathan Winters albums, Bob Newhart albums, all that great comedy that was clean and fun to listen to, things that you can share with the entire family. And that's what Steve Simone has done with What's Up Nerds. So head over to awesomesteve.com and download his latest album. If it's not up now, it will be very shortly. Again, that's Steve Simone at awesomesteve.com. And check out his latest release, What's Up Nerds, that I was had the privilege of being present when he recorded that. So check that out. Also sponsoring today's show is Amazon. Go to milehighshow.com and click that Amazon link and do all your online shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It takes you straight over to your standard Amazon or Amazon Prime login. If you don't have one, create one and start shopping away. Get great deals online. You don't pay anything extra, but it lets Amazon know you got there through the Mile High Show. So milehighshow.com, use that Amazon link, save it, bookmark it, and support the show with no extra money out of pocket. Also, right next to that Amazon link is an Audible link where you can click away. It takes you to audible.com. Use that Audible link at milehighshow.com and get a free audio download from over 180,000 titles to choose from. They have books, albums, magazine articles, lectures, podcasts, all kinds of audio content. And you can get a free Audible download. I'm logging in right now because I am going to tell you one that I really liked. It was the Steve Martin book, and I always forget the title of it. Steve Martin, the great stand-up comic and writer and author, and this is Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life. It talks about Steve Martin's rise as a budding comic and magician when he was working at Disneyland as a kid, and up to and including everything he's accomplished since. Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life by Steve Martin, narrated by Steve Martin. You can get that free when you go to Audible by using the Audible link at milehighshow.com, this is what you do. You choose your free Audible audio download. You get a free download and a free 30-day trial by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. So do that. Pick up Born Standing Up, A Comic's Life by Steve Martin. Go over to awesomesteve.com, download his new release, What's Up, Nerds, recorded in front of a live audience at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, California. And you do all that by visiting milehighshow.com and clicking on the links in this week's episode. Again, this is myself talking with Dave Von Urban and Nate Peabody about what it takes to be a good dad, or don't do what I do, and you know, just do the opposite of what I do. That'll also help you be a good dad. So sit back and enjoy my talk with Dave Von Urban and Nate Peabody while we're sitting around at Gabby's Grill in Fresno. Come to Papa. Come see your Papa. Well, what I wanted to talk to you guys about was when I had Nate on my radio show when they were expecting his baby, and what I did, and we got preempted because of a breaking news story, so I lost a good chunk of that show that day. But what I had done is gone around. I think I got some info from James about Family Planning Financial.
Mm-hmm.
James Haight, Victory Wealth Management. I got to hit him up for a sponsorship. I talked to the pharmacist at Walgreens about new baby care.
Right.
And I the lady that runs the preschool where Anthony was, about child development and things. I got about 10 different supposed experts. And what I done up this little game where I was going to quiz him to see how prepared he was as a new father.
Yep.
It didn't work out because we got preempted. We only had a couple of minutes.
It was still fun, yeah.
Yeah, but it was fun. But so when I don't even know why it popped in my head last week. I was thinking, I should sit down with Nate and another dad and just talk about not necessarily somebody with a big family, somebody kind of a new parent, to find out what were some of the big surprises that popped in your life as a parent. Now, Dave, you've got one daughter?
I got two.
Two. Nate, you don't know what you're talking.
Yeah.
He's the Dave Von Urban expert. He goes, yeah, he's got like one daughter. She's like three. Yeah, we're gonna get there.
I forgot about the teenager.
I'm gonna have four. He's gonna have four kids, and they're all in college.
Yeah, you know.
So what's your family situation? What do you got?
Family situation. Well, when I met my wife, she already had a kid. So when we got married, I became an instant father.
Now, how long have you guys been married?
8 years.
8 years. And how old? I'm going to ask you something. If you don't want to answer, just tell me. How old were you when you got married?
27.
27. That's how I was. 28, almost 29 when we got married. How old were you, Nate?
I was 23. Young
buck.
I took the dip early.
Yeah. So how old was your daughter when you guys got married?
When we first met, JC, my newest daughter, she was four, and when we got married, she was six.
Okay. So you had a built-in first grader from the get-go. What kind of transition was that for you as a single guy, no kids, inheriting all of a sudden ready-made family?
You know, I used to refer myself as an ultimate bachelor. I lived with two other guys, and we had our place ourselves for about 4 years. I mean, we own the house. The house is ours.
Oh, nice.
And then,
so you had responsible friends. That was not like my bachelor days. No. We barely owned socks.
Somewhat, but yeah, that's a good question. It was a big transition. One of the best pieces of advice my wife gave me was that nobody is really ever ready to be a parent. because I liked her so much, but I was like, man, am I really willing to commit and be an instant dad from an Ultimate Bachelor?
And two girls? Now, what's the age difference? She's how old now?
So JC now is 15. She just picked up the manual at the MVD because she's
at that point.
And Delaney, the child we had together, she is four.
Four.
So, matter of fact, a couple years ago, I did some volunteer service. I was interviewing to do some volunteer service in New York, and I was interviewed by a panel of people, and they said, well, is your family opposed to you going to volunteer? I said, no. And they're like, do you have any children at home? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, how old? I said, well, 13 and two, terrible two. And they're like, ooh.
So they want you to leave. It's like, that's a weird time. I've been joking around that on the way in. It's like, my wife encourages me to go work out of town a lot. See, we have one child. You just met Anthony. He's been on this show a couple times.
Has he?
He's seven. So I have one child. He's seven. My wife is the mother of twins. They're just 45 years apart. Because raising me is like having another child. Was expanding your family something that you guys were intending to do? I mean, were you?
No, it was not. It's like, oh, that can't happen to us, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember when my wife broke the news to me, like, in a surprise, and I'm like, are you sure? And that was my response.
Okay.
Been there.
Now, were you guys trying?
Believe it or not, you know what was crazy is friends were asking us, are you guys going to have kids? And we were like, no, we're not. You know, our mindset, we just want to keep focused on this. We like kids, but it's just not for us right now.
And I love other people's kids.
Yeah.
And, well, not that, I mean, I love mine too.
Yeah.
But other people's kids you get to play with and spoil, and then they got a dirty diaper. You go, hey, your kid,
right?
They got to be changed. Yeah,
we've got nieces and nephews, and it was like, hey, if we wanted kids to come over, we'd just have them over and then be able to send them back if we wanted to. But it was,
nice and close.
I don't know, things just changed. We started to realize how old we were getting. And I didn't want to have any regrets. You know,
trust me, the regrets come whether you got kids or not. Sandra has regrets every day when she looks at me and says, what did I do?
Can I just confess something, Nate?
What's up, Dave?
I think the way it went down is, I think we knew we were pregnant.
Right.
And we made a pact with you guys that if we get pregnant, you got to get pregnant, knowing that we were.
You're right. That did happen.
I think we're somewhat responsible.
I was working. My schedule from when I was a kid, I mean, I was working full-time jobs in school, in high school. I've always had really funky and weird work hours and working nights and stuff. Well, that didn't change after we got married. And we got married in 95.
Okay.
We were married 15 years before Sandra got pregnant.
Wow.
And it was not something we were planning on.
Right.
Best surprise ever, ever. No mistake about it. He's been a great, I mean, it's changed my life completely for the better.
Right.
But having said that, was not something we were planning for. Nor were we ready for. I was 40. I just turned 50, and he just turned 7. I was 43 when he was born. 43, 44, whatever he was. I don't count very well. That's why it's like having two kids in our house. He counts better than me. He dresses better than me. He's better looking than I. I was going to make a bad joke, but
he's a good kid.
It was a great thing to happen. But terrified me, not just like normal nerves. Oh no, we've got a kid. I was deathly afraid that I was going to do something dumb. I mean, I'm constantly walking around with 15 grand worth of camera equipment strapped around my shoulder, and I've done that for decades. Uh-huh. I have walked out of restaurants, gotten in the car, driven away, and go, "Oh my cameras!" and have to drive. I've driven away with them sitting on the trunk of my car.
Yeah.
And all I was thinking was like, I'm going to get home one day and Sandra's going to go, where's Anthony? Oh, I'll be right back.
Right.
It hasn't happened yet, but those kind of things, because I know how my mind works, or I guess how my mind doesn't work. I'm not that in tune with the important things a lot of times, so he's forced me to be more responsible. But you know, I'm mid-40s and we're going to have a baby? This is ridiculous. Yeah. All my buddies are having grandkids. And I've got this. And at school, when I drop them off, I'm in, especially in our area in Chino,
yeah.
there's a lot of extended families, you know, kids living with their grandparents and stuff. You probably see that at Paulden.
Oh, yeah, tons.
There's a whole section where the parents are here and the grandparents are here, and everybody just assumes I'm there picking up my grandson. That's how it is when I'm going to school.
It's yeah.
Like, now they're getting to know us, and they realize that he's the more mature one anyway. So. But it's it was a big, big switch.
Yeah.
Talk about when you ask your wife, are you sure? I was working nights. I'd gotten out of a hockey game, and Sandra was sick. She had the flu, we thought. And I get home at 3 o'clock in the morning, leaving the arena,
mm-hmm.
and I go home exhausted. We were living in Paulden at the time. I crawl into bed, and she wakes up. This is 3:30 in the morning, and she wakes me. I wake up, and the sun's not even up. It's like 5:36. I've been asleep for like an hour and a half, and she's sitting on the foot of the bed. My first thought is somebody died, you know. Who died, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, what's wrong? And she was terrified. And I said, what's going on? What's going on? What's happening? It took a few minutes for her to finally say she was afraid. My response, how'd that happen?
I think it's a shock to everybody when it happens.
I don't think anybody can
be ready for it. Even the people that plan to have kids, I don't think they're ready for it. And when your wife tells you that for the first time, like, I don't know, it's one of those do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do moments where you're like, is this really happening? Okay, it is. And then all of a sudden your body just accepts it, and you're like, this is what's
When's
going on.
When's that happen?
Anna, I'll break the news to you, Nate.
Okay, so what happened with us is we were heading to a friend's house, and we had some other friends picking us up, and we were going to carpool together. So I guess she had kept this from me for like a week or two. Didn't know how to really break the ice. So we had gone and gotten barbecue in Chino Valley, Big Daddy's, you know. And
love that place.
And she was going to tell me there, but just couldn't do it. So I go take a shower. I get out. Don't have any clothes on, obviously. I open up my drawer.
Wait, is this how you found out she was pregnant or how she got pregnant?
No, that's another story. We won't talk about that.
This is a family podcast,
when I opened my underwear drawer, instead of underwear being there, there was a bunch of baby diapers and then a card that said...
I'm not that old.
Oh, wow.
Then a card that said, wow. And I opened it and it was like... you're going to be a dad, you know? And I looked at her, and she was already crying. And I was like, who's going to be a dad? Like which one of our friends is going to be a father? And then I was like, oh, wait, no, it's me. And I was like, unbelievable. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to process it because we had friends picking us up. But it was quite the experience.
We had found...
That's good.
We had found out it was, you know, like I said, we didn't really tell anybody. My sister... Maggie was staying with us for a little bit, so she knew. But we didn't really tell anybody for a couple things. One, you know, at a certain point, you're at an at-risk pregnancy already for age and that. And,
right.
and the best thing about having a podcast that your wife isn't interested in is I could talk about whatever. She'll never
and
hear
she'll
any
never
of
know.
This. we're exactly 2 years apart. To the day when we found that out, when we went and applied for our marriage license, and the lady thought we wrote our birth dates wrong because they were the same date, just
wow.
different year. And
okay.
Like, oh, hey, yeah, I guess so. So, you know, she was 41, 42, 42.
Okay.
When she got pregnant.
Wow.
And at 30-ish is when they're like, well, you know, this isn't at risk.
Yeah.
And like, oh, yeah, yeah.
You're thinking you're going to start winding down.
You know, we didn't really want to tell folks until we were, you know, until things started progressing in case something went wrong.
Right.
Because, you know, that's something you got to think about. And like 2-3 weeks go by, and it's for sure she did a couple of home tests. She went to the doctor and got it confirmed, and they did the little ultrasound and stuff. But we weren't going to tell anybody. And we go over to Mike and Joyce Lottie's for lunch one day, and Brian and Lynn were there, their family from Williams or wherever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were there. There's a group of folks there. And we hadn't been sleeping at all because we're like just up all night, just like stressed out. So we're already kind of out of it. We're sitting in the Lottie's living room, and Brian and Lynn are sitting there. And I don't know whose babies were there. I can't remember. Maybe it might have. I don't know. Whoever had babies, somebody had
John
a baby
and Tressa
there.
Or?
Nah, I don't know. Somebody had a baby.
Okay,
I don't know. And we're kind of playing with the baby, and then the baby goes away. And Brian looks and he goes, "So when are you guys gonna have kids?" And we just kind of looked at each other and kind of changed the subject. But a couple of months later, I told Brian that. I says, you know that. And we had just, that was on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, wow.
We had just had it confirmed from the doctor that Friday. So it was like 2 days fresh. And I told him, I said, "Do you remember asking?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "We had just found out."
You nailed it. Yeah. Right on.
But yeah, that was a scary, scary few months. And just being that, everybody kept telling me, "Well, you know, you're going to, you know, make you feel young. You'll have a baby in the young." And I'm like, the complete opposite.
Right.
Because trying to follow, when he was crawling and stuff, and then up at night, he actually slept pretty good through the night. But just trying to keep up with the little baby, it's
right.
Like, I felt like I was 105 years old, man.
I know, same here.
Oh, draining.
It's rough. Like, without Anna, I don't think I could have done it. It was, I was kind of disappointed in myself to see how terrible I was at waking up at night. And I did a handful of times, but there were times, like most of the time, Anna took care of that, and she was right there, that motherly instinct. And you're just amazed at what your wife can do.
Now, Dave, I don't know much about your family. You got a lot of family around here?
Yeah.
So were you getting, like, was there the whole family interaction going on when you're youngest?
No, it wasn't.
Or were you pretty much already independent because you had the...
Way independent. Yeah. My parents are pretty older, and so is my siblings.
Okay, how much older?
Eight years, I'm the youngest. By 8 years.
So how many kids in your family?
Five. I have four other siblings.
And you're total. The youngest?
Yep.
I'm the youngest of five as well. And what's the age difference between you and the oldest?
Probably at least 16 years.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a mistake.
White people. That's white people. Hispanic family. Mexican Catholic. I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest of five. There was a sixth that died at SIDS before I was born. He was between me and my six kids. Maggie's the oldest.
Uh-huh.
We're all born between September and December. So, you know, Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, my God.
What's St. Patty's Day? I don't know. But we're all born in the fall and winter. Six kids. Me and Mag are 7 years apart. That my mom was pregnant every single year.
Oh, my gosh.
From the first year they were married.
At least your parents liked each other.
Six kids in 7 years.
So you're the youngest of five kids?
Yeah.
But you had a sibling that had SIDS right before you?
That was older than me, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So they probably really spoiled you.
You know, not so. But you'd have to ask my brothers and sisters. They say yeah, but for me, maybe it was spoiled.
Yeah.
But I got away with stuff because they were busy taking care of everything else. I remember being completely on my own at 3 and 4 years old.
Because you have that only child vibe. I don't know what it is.
Me? She was so wore out by the time I came along. It was like, I don't even care what you do. I remember like fifth, sixth grade, I'd leave for like 8-9 hours after school, come home, it's dark. Where were you? I was in the garage. Oh, okay. I was across town. And in high school, forget it. I started working full time. I was working a full time job after school my sophomore year.
Dang.
So I would get home at 2-3 in the morning, crash out for a couple hours, and then go to school. Wow. And then by junior, senior year, it was like, yeah, I was coming home at 3-4 in the morning, but I wasn't working. It was just out and about. But she was just too wore out by then.
Yeah.
To even know what I was doing.
Big families, man.
Yeah.
They'll wear you down.
But when Anthony was born, we were it out here. Mag was out here, but you know, she had moved out here already. But we don't have any other family out here. My brother Tony was actually, when he got married to Rhonda in Tucson, we went down for the wedding not knowing that Sandra was already pregnant at that point. We thought she was sick.
Oh.
And then we confirmed it about a week after, 2 weeks after he got married. So he was out there already. So we were basically here by ourselves. All my family's in California. So we didn't have any other family like interaction. Like,
I see.
Telling us what to do and what not to do. Sandra didn't need it. I did. What about, and your family's all back east?
Yeah,
at the time,
my
huh?
family is, but my wife's family's out here. Her sister has like four kids, so she's been through it.
Yeah.
She helped out, but I'll have to admit, we had so much support from our friends and family, like just people giving my wife massages while she was pregnant, like having her get a massage,
I'm glad
pedicure.
Sandra doesn't listen to this podcast. Yeah. I never massage.
Like just
how
I mean,
come Anna got massages? Doing, I never got.
Yeah. Well, you know, going on those walks with your yeah. wife, knowing that's a precious moment, and soon the kid's gonna arrive. But I know Dave here, him and his wife, when we showed up to the hospital to deliver and get induced, and his wife had some flowers already waiting
oh,
for
nice.
Us. People were texting us, can we bring food for you? How's this going? Just
yeah.
And that makes you feel so good. And
yeah, we had a lot of support from our friends in that. I'm not saying that, just, but it was, I guess what I'm getting, because my family is really free with the advice, whether asked for or not. And
since you're the youngest,
Sandra's
you're going to get
family
it.
Is too. And I, for me, it was kind of, it was almost a relief being away, because you know people mean well, but a lot of times they're like, you know, it's the last thing you want is somebody giving you advice on
yeah.
every step of the way. I'll mess this up on my own. If he makes it past three, the rest is gravy.
Yeah,
you know, that's a success for me. If he can walk and talk,
well, yeah.
and he's still alive, all right, I'm a successful dad. Yay.
Well, I had a friend who even let me. He showed me how to do the swaddle. And I didn't realize at the time how important the swaddle
oh, yeah.
is, but he showed me how to change a diaper and to do the swaddle, and just those two things were vital.
Did you guys do one of those classes at the hospital?
We
or
did.
Something?
We did. That was fun. It was a little awkward being there with a ton of people, but once you get in there, it's fun. Everybody opens up.
Did you guys have to do something like that? Or
yeah, we did.
Was
we
your
did.
Wife an old pro already?
She, well, that's a good question. She is, but we did it for me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did it. I learned a lot. And I got to be the class clown, too. So
We did, and there was one other couple in there. Well, one other couple, I guess. It was the mom and her mom.
Oh, wow.
So the grandma, and I still bump into her a lot.
Do you?
I see her all over the place.
Wow.
We went to Yavapai when it was the I guess now all the birthing stuff is here in PV, but we were at the one on Willow Creek there or wherever,
okay.
Prescott.
Yeah.
But I was older than the mom who was there with her daughter.
Oh, wow.
And everybody else, there's a couple kids from Chino High there that were still in high school.
Wow.
So everybody was like, the youngest was like 16, 17. The average was about 23, 24. And
okay.
I'm 40. Whatever I was.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, just everything from just feeling like an old fart in there and just like, to like being, sitting on the floor and going, I got to get up and you
right.
can't. And it's like, and then Sandra, everybody, when we first got married, like I said, we're 2 years apart. When we first got married, everybody thought she was my daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Sandra.
I'd pick her up at work and they'd go, hey, Sandra, your dad's
oh,
here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because she always looked really young anyway.
Yeah.
And I used to make her wear that cheerleader outfit. That didn't help. No.
Okay. No wonder.
But no, I mean, she's, and I have, I mean, I guess you'd have to ask other people, but I feel like now I actually look my age. But when I was in my 20s, people thought I was 40. When I was in my 30s, people thought I was 50.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now I'm 50, and people go, yeah, 50-ish, 60, close.
But you know what? You guys had a healthy kid. He's awesome,
oh, yeah.
boy. He's smart, can read well. So I mean, look what you have now.
Still no job. Still no
maybe
job.
Maybe next year.
Never. You notice he left before the bill came.
That.
He does that every time. Every no. I always joke about that. Like, Sandra, you hear on the car on the way in. He works hard because I joke with him, and he does that too. He goes, "No, Pop, I don't have no money." But he when he does have money, when somebody gives, he always offers to give me some. He's
good
a good
kid.
He's a
good
little
kid.
Guy.
Looking out for Pops.
So what's the age difference again? Between yours?
Yeah, the age difference is 11. So that's what I was going to say. That's one thing I had in my favor, though, is when we had Delaney as a newborn, JC was like a second mom.
She would wake up late. Babysitter. Yep,
yeah. A built-in babysitter. That's right.
So, nice.
Really blessed for that.
What was it? So she was 11. How was she when the new baby came in?
We sat her down and talked to her about it, and she seemed okay about it. She seemed happy at the same time, and you know, like, of course, she's not going to be the only kid anymore. But she was very acceptable to it.
Again, the whole thing of, you know, what do you want, boy or girl? You know,
right? Oh yeah.
I don't care. Just a healthy baby boy is what I used to say. Just a healthy baby boy. I was so relieved when we found out that it was a boy. For no other reason than I know nothing about females anyway. Not, you know, I never have.
Right.
I never will. I don't understand how my brain works. So at least he and I have more in common.
Exactly.
How do you raise a little girl?
You know, I really wanted a little boy. But it just, I think it just comes naturally. One thing I realized is that we had to help someone out, and I think a coworker of Jody's had a doctor's appointment or something important to do. So she agreed to watch their little boy at the same age as Delaney, just for a few hours. No big deal. He's in the back, like just throwing stuff around. He's like shaking my trees, and just I'm like, is this really happening? We were at a friend's house, and this is like a different situation, but. We're at their house, and we're just trying to be adults and have a beverage. And the kids, their little kids, running around naked, just around the house, just with company.
Sounds like
there,
a boy.
Just,
as your boy at home with clothes.
Oh man, you know
Anthony gets naked at the drop of a hat.
My kid runs hot, so he's taking his socks off when we're trying to put him on. He's taking clothing off, but he thankfully leaves his diaper on. But we're about to hit that potty training stage, but. He's always sweating. My son, doesn't matter if it's middle of winter, he is sweating.
Anthony, too.
All the time.
Yeah. Anthony, he loves being naked, boy. He just does. Running through the house. Like, go for it, kid. We live on an acre. So, you know, it's like, you gotta go outside. Go ahead. I don't get Sandra hates it. She gets all mad.
Yeah.
You let him pee outside again.
Hey, it's the great outdoors. That's why they call it that.
You know who's a really good guy to know? See that guy at the bar up there?
Yep.
He owns a liquor barn around the corner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good guy to know.
Is his name Alfie?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. Anyone listening to this that's not sure if they should have a kid, I'll tell you, when you see your son or daughter come out, it is life-changing, and you would never take it back in a million years. It's just,
I agree.
The best experience.
It's a miracle.
I guess. Is that the...
Yeah, what else does a guy do in that situation?
Just try to keep your wife calm.
Okay,
and
okay, in our classes with the hospital, they told us, they said, because I was like, you know, maybe it's just because I'm old. I don't know. Who knows why? Or just the movies I've watched or whatever, where, you know, the dads are paced in the waiting room or, you know, at the bar down the street wait. And they said, all these other young kids in our class were like, I'm going to be right there. I want to cut the cord. I'm like, I'll be outside. I'm good. I'm good with that. And Sandra's like, no, you'll be right there. Yeah, I guess I will be if I have to be.
Yeah.
And then they kept telling us, well, remember, if for whatever reason it goes to a cesarean birth, you'll have to leave the room.
Right.
And these guys are like, no, I want to be right there. I'm like, no, I'm good with that. I'm okay. If that's, you know, if that's how it has to be. Well, she went into labor at, I don't know, 3, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday. And he wasn't born until the following 2-something in the afternoon on Wednesday.
Okay.
So it was going through the night. And at about noonish, a couple hours before, they said, well, you know, we're going to have to do the cesarean. We're going to have to go in and take it. And Sandra wanted to go the other way, the regular way, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was getting a little depressed, and I was trying to pretend I was depressed, but I was like, all right, this is great. What do you want? You can talk. You know, pantomime. What are you, Marcel Marceau?
Huh? The same.
Yeah.
So they're saying, you know, we're going to have to do cesarean. And Sandra's like, no, no, Mag's in there with us. And she's like, oh, no, that's too bad. And I'm going, oh, it's too bad. I'll be out here waiting. So I was kind of happy. I was like, oh, good, I don't have to be in there.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, they're getting her all prepped and everything, and then another hour goes by, they give her the medicine, you know, they give her the shot. And I'm just sitting there, and they go, okay, come on. I figured they're going, okay, come on, we're going to show you where you're going to wait.
Uh-huh.
And they start handing me scrubs. And I'm like, oh, no, no, they're doing a cesarean. I can't be in there. They go, why not? I said, oh, no, no, yeah, they told us we can't be in there. And they go, oh, no, yeah, you can come in. And I'm like, how do I convince him not to let me? So I go in, and, you know, they got, I don't know, she's on her back, and they got the little curtain drops on her neck. So I'm talking to her, and then they got the anesthesiologist sitting right there, and, you know, they're in the process of this thing, and he's looking over, you know, he's a medical professional, I'll let him do what he wants. I'm going to stare at her face.
Yeah.
And he goes, you want to take a peek? And I'm like, absolutely not. What are you, crazy?
Wow.
And so when he's born, they there was a class in the room. It was like three nursing
students.
Oh, my
goodness.
It was like a lecture hall. I don't know.
They're taking notes.
Yeah, they were. They were there taking. And then,
wow.
So they,
wow.
They, what's that? The what's the APGAR? The little birthing test where they check the reflexes. And
yeah,
the
yeah, I guess.
They rating. It's like a rating system. Mm-hmm. So they carry him over to the to this little table where they're weighing him and stuff. And you know, they're checking him out, and I'm looking at him. And I got a camera with me, of course. I got James Haight's camera. All my stuff was in the car.
Oh, nice.
So he came and brought me a camera. And so I'm taking pictures of Anthony. He's, you know, he's this big. And I, you know, you're wearing the scrubs and then these little covers over your shoes, so everything's really slick. And they go, well, do you want to take him over to show your wife? And I'm like, I can't carry him. Oh, yeah, carry him. So I got a camera that's sliding off my shoulder. My feet are all sliding, and I pick him up. And then the nurse turns me around instead of, like, opposite, so I'm looking at the wall. Mm-hmm. She turns me around, and I'm facing the operating table, and I about passed out.
Oh.
I was like, oh, my God.
Oh.
And she kind of came, oh, wait, I should have turned you the other
and
way,
you had
huh?
the baby.
And I'm like, oh. Okay. So I bring him over, and Sandra looks at him, and then they take him and clean him up. And I figured, okay, they got this big cart with wheels. They put him in it. So I figured I'm good. And they go, okay, let's go out. And they go, well, we'll pick up your son. And I'm like, you got a car. You got a perfectly good cart with wheels right there. Why are you going to have this guy who's about to pass out, been up all night, wearing booties on his slippery feet, walking through a high-polished hallway? And they go, no, you have to carry him out. So I'm carrying him, sliding down the hallway, and I got to take him like 20 feet. And they're thinking, well, this is a great bonding experience, and all I'm thinking of is, I'm going to drop this kid. Obviously I didn't, but
yeah.
I was like, this is not right, man.
I'll tell you another reason for dads to be there, not only to be there for the wife and to get her through that trying time, but when my son came out, like, that's their first time in the world, okay?
Yeah.
They don't know what's going on. Like, he had this lost look on his face, but when I spoke to him, he, like, opened his eyes all crazy,
oh,
looking
cool.
up over and turned his head. Because, you know, when they say you talk to him in the womb and you read to him, they recognize your voice, and he knew
yeah.
that voice. He didn't know who it was or why it was, but he turned to me and was like, I know that voice.
Oh, how
and
cool.
I'll tell you.
What
great feeling.
When they got him cleaned up and
yeah.
Sandra got put in the other room and was resting up, they told me, go, okay, go over there. And there's, you know, the little nursery thing. There's like six or seven little babies in there, all the ones that were. And they go over there. We'll be in there in a minute. We want you to change his first diaper and hold him. You can hold him. So I figured this would be. So I walk over. I'm looking in the window. And I'm looking, and there's this baby looking at me. This is the wrong baby.
No.
For like 30 seconds, I'm going, oh, they did it.
Like,
and then she walks.
I'm
in.
Your dad.
The nurse walks in and sits down at another baby
yeah.
and waves me over. I'm like, Oh well. So there's some kid out there that thinks he almost got taken home by me. Oh, he's terrified now. He's
the real dad
every
comes
time
up and punches you in the eye.
I think my family was worried about me like passing out or something, but it wasn't like graphic or anything like that. I just remember the baby coming out really powdery.
Yeah.
And then I did actually get to cut the umbilical cord. I didn't expect to, but and it was interesting too because it was a group practice. It was like, what, Prescott's Women Clinic or something like that?
Yeah.
So you work with a doctor, but they say, well, we can't guarantee you're going to have that doctor. He could be on vacation or whatever. And there's like five or six other ones. So sure enough, we had our doctor there. She got induced, and then his time was up, so we got some complete stranger. But he was totally cool. I think I had a Cardinals bag hanging in the room somewhere. So while he's doing his business, we're talking about football. But it's pretty smart on his part. I think our doctor was Ohanessian, but I think the doctor delivery was, I don't want to say it, Goldberg or something like that.
I wish I remembered. We got it written down somewhere.
But it was a good way to break the ice with the stranger.
We had a good pre at the women's clinic. We had a great doctor. And I can't remember if... I don't remember who was there. That whole day is all blurred out, man. I don't remember.
I mean, I remember I made a CD in a boombox, and music was always playing. She was born to Fresh Feeling. and then
this is how old I am. What? I don't know what that is.
And then, like, later on, he was doing some more work to getting jiggy with it. So.
Oh, there you go.
See, Anthony, like I said, when I'd be pushing him around in a like that we'd have the little, like a car seat, like in the shopping cart, you know, the little carrier thing.
Uh-huh.
And these are people that know me, you know, like in Chino, because you can't walk through Safeway without getting stopped like four or five
That's
times,
true.
Maybe, but you know. And they're like, oh, are you a new grandpa? I'm like, yeah.
Oh.
She's gotten a lot of fights. Quit at Safeway. But he's real even tempered, and he's real laid back, and I'm not joking. I think it's because he hangs out with old people all the time. You know, it's just me for a long time.
Yeah, he's very mature for his age.
He's very relaxed. When he went to... See, I didn't know... When I started school, I started kindergarten at... I was just about to turn 5. And school always started right after Labor Day, like the first, second week of September. Here, it starts way early. So we started thinking when he was 4, okay, school starts in August. We got to get... So we put him in preschool. And again, he was constantly with either Sandra or myself. Never without us. I mean, never. Like, Sandra went to a job with me one time, and we had somebody watch him for like 2 hours. But it was somebody he knew really well. And half of that time, he was freaked out. It was the first time he had been away from us. And he was like 3 at the time. So we figured we got to get him ready for school. So we put him in preschool over there at Valley Learning Center, right there at the where Gabby's at the Windy Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
He starts in April when he's 4, and we drop in April, March. Maybe it was March because it was still pretty cold out. He's all bundled up in his jacket. Did not want to go. Bawled his little eyes out. Cried and cried and cried. They called. We checked in. They go, no, he's still crying. It was like 3 hours later. And then I'd go pick him up in the afternoon, and he's still wearing his jacket, still crying. And he would run to me, and I'm like, oh, man. But we had to get him used to being around kids.
Yeah.
And finally, he stopped crying. It was dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
But Kelly, the lady at Valley Learning Center, calls me up. She goes, oh, he's having a really good day today. I go, oh, what are they doing? She goes, oh, no, he's sitting at the front desk with us.
Oh, my gosh.
He's signing another parent.
Dang.
She goes, he's extremely good with the staff and the teachers. He doesn't get along real good with the kids. I go, well, he's hanging out with old people all day.
Yeah.
Never watched cartoons or anything. His favorite shows, because I grew up, like I said, as the youngest, and then my parents were always a little older. My mom was 30 when I was born. So... You know, at that time, a lot of the shows we watched were the old shows, you know, a lot of the contemporary stuff even in the 70s and 80s, I didn't watch.
Right.
So I grew up watching, you know, Leave It to Beaver and you know, Andy Griffith and stuff. So that's what we have at home. We don't have TV. We got DVDs, and I got stacks of Andy Griffith, that's Ozzie cool. and Harriet and stuff. His favorite show until he was like 5 was Andy Griffith's show. and Ozzie and Harriet. And he'd watch all his favorite movie now was an old John Wayne movie. He loves it.
Yeah.
So he's around little kids now and has no idea what they're talking about. But he's got a lot in common with the adults at the school. But it took him a while. And then after when school was starting in that August, we found out, oh, no, in Chino, they want you to be 5 before school starts. And he was still a couple months shy. So they said, we can put him in now if you want, and we'll test him. So they tested him for his count and stuff. They said, yeah, he's ready, and we can have him start now if you want. What popped out of my mouth? We can have him start now. And we got to think, but then they said, we would prefer you wait till next summer.
Yeah.
And we thought about it, and we were going, you know what? It's only been about a month that he's actually okay going to school. So let's wait. We took their suggestion and waited. So he got a whole nother year in preschool. And by halfway through that year, he was like running the place. He was like,
I think for any parent, wondering if your son or daughter is going to be accepted socially is like a nerve wracking experience.
Hey, he's accepted socially better than I am.
Because with my son, he's the only child. So, like you said, he's around us most of the time. When he's around his cousins, he has a blast.
Yeah.
But when we've watched him around other kids, it's almost like he doesn't fit in. He doesn't know what to do.
You know where that comes from? He spends way too much time with Randy.
Yeah. He's watching reruns of Super Bowl III. Yeah, he needs to get out and get caught up.
It's Randy Douglas,
yeah.
Bad influence of children.
This is why the Lions don't win.
So my son's just a little old man. Your son's a grumpy old man.
But yeah, I can't wait for that. My son's first day of school, to be able to go through that is going to be exciting.
So is your youngest in any preschool, or has she started kindergarten yet or anything?
She went to school a year ago. She was so little. She goes to Primavera elementary school on Copper Basin.
Copper Basin. Where is that? Where's Copper Basin? I thought there was a Primavera right here on the highway.
It's not the same.
It's a different, okay.
But off Copper Basin, by White Spar.
Gotcha, okay.
In the woods of Prescott.
The granola baby.
If you want to say that. it's a really good school. It is like a private charter school, but
nice.
It's so far it's just kind of been just pre-kindergarten, kindergarten. Everything's going well.
So what, if you could think back, what was the biggest surprise you guys got as a parent? What was the biggest thing you said, wow, I never thought of that, or oh, I didn't know that was going to happen? Anything? Hey, fella.
Man.
Speak of the devil.
For me, I don't know. Just for me, I guess this is kind of lame, but just the shock of how much they learn and observe at a young age.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I couldn't believe how just one day they can't even sit up. And then the next day they're starting to roll over. And then before you know it, they're trying. It's just if there's one or two days where I worked late and had to sleep and I didn't see him that day, it's 3 days later, he can all of a sudden do this. And I'm where did that come from? That's amazing.
Yep. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, too. Or how much they absorb or notice even your habits. The other day, my 4-year-old told me, she's like, hey, if you don't do this, she's like, you can't watch your cop TV show, no football, and no beer.
Oh, no. What do I do?
Exactly. They pick up on your habits.
I was surprised that same thing, how much he mimics and at an early age, mimicking. Now they're just part of his personality. When I see things that Sandra, my wife, does, that he does exactly. And when I'm watching him and thinking, it's like looking into one of those fun house mirrors where it distorts how you look.
Right.
Only this one's making me smaller and cuter. And I'm watching him going, I do that exact same thing. It's almost like I'm saying,
yeah,
don't do that. Don't turn out like me. I got a lot of stuff going on.
And your wife turns and looks at you and she's like,
yeah,
he is just like
you. Oh, yeah. Man. But, no, what? when he was in his preschool. Because like I said, first few months, miserable. Then he started getting used to it. And then, like I said, it broke my heart to leave and have him upset because I was leaving,
right,
or how excited he was when I got there. I was like, oh, I felt so bad. Now, and then it got to the point, and now at his school now, he's in first grade. But even in preschool, once he started getting so used to being there and kind of running the little class, he was one of the older ones in there. Then it was like I'd go pick him up, and it hurt even more when he's like, do we have to go now? Can I play for a little? It's like, oh, nah, I remember when you liked me picking you up.
I was your everything.
Yeah. No. How dare you get a personality? But then the first, because there was a time in my life where I had a really, really bad vocabulary. How's that to say? Is that
all right?
And I went through a spat of a few years where, I mean, when he's of age to know what I did between 17 and 25, 26, it's, right. I don't know that I ever want to tell him a lot of those stories.
Yeah.
But, so we try, and for a lot of different reasons, it's still something I have to work with really watching my frustrated tongue and watch what I say. And so we even on TV shows and movies and stuff, we make sure there's no foul language, you know, just even because little things that he'll pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was one parent at his preschool who had, and we heard about this through the teachers and through the admin over there, and they warned us. They said because in their household, she's trying to teach tolerance. And she's of the thinking, the mom is of the thinking, that there's no such thing as bad words. It's only hurtful actions. So as long as you treat everybody nice, you can say whatever you want.
Oh, wow.
And the first day he came home and dropped an F-bomb, we're like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
And he's like, what does that mean? And we're like, well, and it was a whole discussion of not only should you never say that to a person, you should never say that in public.
Yeah,
but he's a good little monkey.
He is.
Hey, what was your Anthony? What was your biggest surprise when you had to move in with mommy and pop? Do you remember being born? Do you remember being at the hospital? Do you do here? Come tell me.
I'll tell you what, I will have to say this, though. You don't fully realize what your parents have done for you in life until you have a kid. Like, at one point, it was like, yeah, my dad was the cool guy, and then my mom was all right, and then it was like, oh, I don't want nothing to do with my parents for a little bit. But then after you actually grow up and have a kid, and you realize, no, you wouldn't be alive if this.
You're assuming I
these
grew
people
up.
Didn't feed you, didn't do this. Like your half your personality, if not 80%, is because of your dad or mom. They sculpt you to the person that you are.
One of the my dad, when we were growing up, like I said, five kids running around. My grandmother lived. My dad's mom lived in Santa Cruz in California, and we were pretty close to there. We were about a half hour, 45 minutes away, so we used to go visit there a lot. And I don't know if you ever been there, Santa Cruz?
No,
beach community.
Okay,
UC Santa Cruz is there, but it's an old beach community, old hippie community from the 60s, beatnik before that. Now it's all trendy, and nobody can afford to live there. But they got that beach boardwalk there. Rides, roller coaster, and stuff. It's been there for since
awesome.
I think the 20s or something.
Like where Santa Monica Pier is, kind of.
No, it's like that, but it's up north.
Oh, okay.
It's like
gotcha.
It's maybe an hour south of San Francisco.
Okay,
up in that area, and we would go there as kids all the time. And my dad, at the time, say when he was 30. 4 years apart, 34 when I was born. So he was, you know, mid-40s when I was a 12-year-old. And we would go there, or we'd go to amusement parks. We had one pretty close to the house called Great America, which was a big, it's like a Six Flags type of place. And he would go on more rides than we did. He would just go and go and go. I can't do it now, but probably 25 years ago, my brother in California, who at the time his son was maybe 8, me and my brother took my nephew and about 5 of his friends to this Great America Park. And an hour into it, me and my brother are both sitting on a bench. And at the same time, we had the thought, how did Dad do this?
Yeah.
We can't do it. He would...
It's a party animal.
Turns out, he was addicted to it. No. But I don't know how he did a lot of things. I found out not that many years ago what he made. I was like, how did you support? Right. My mom was a homemaker. She took care of us at home. How did you physically survive and pay the bills?
Right.
And it's just, it doesn't, obviously, you know, the economy was different then. It was a whole different thing. But
he did what he had to do.
Yeah, I was like, man, this was a... And we never wanted for anything, but, you know, we were not, you know, we weren't wealthy, obviously, but we, you know, we didn't know. It was just normal how it did, and I don't know how that stuff was done. I couldn't do it when I was single by myself.
Right.
Trying to figure out how to do it.
I agree, yeah. With 5 kids, I mean, we always went to California for vacation every year.
Where'd you
grow up?
In,
2 good parks. I grew up here.
Here?
In Prescott.
You're a local.
I am a local.
Man, you don't see that much.
True to the word.
But, and then, you know, I think one thing is, I think Dad just pinches pennies so much. I mean, I don't think we went out to eat much. And I remember if we did, being kids, if we wanted to order something off the menu, I remember going over to where Dad was sitting on the big table and asking if he could afford that. And, like, we never, ever got a soda with dinner. It was just it was
water
too much.
Only.
So are you guys looking to expand?
Ooh.
You going to get a brother or sister running around in there?
Dave,
I don't have the money in
first.
The bank.
Oh, man.
No plans.
Are there grants for that?
Start a GoFundMe. Huh?
What's that?
You can tell.
Yeah, we're all right.
So not in the mix, huh? Sandra, that should be a question for you.
What?
I asked them if they're planning on having any more kids. They said no.
She gave him the look.
You know, her 2 sons are
part
enough.
Of me doesn't want my kid to be an only child, you know, and have all those synchronicities, like, you know, is he going to be spoiled, this and that, but...
We're too broke to spoil our child.
Yeah. I know, I'm happy with giving my time to just one for right now. I could only imagine having 4 and trying to split time and trying to make each one feel... Because I work at a school, and when you got 20 students all wanting to get your attention, and this one's saying this, and you're trying to focus in while this one's saying that, and you can tell someone gets hurt when you don't give them that.
Yeah.
I would hate to have that happen, but we're good with 3 of us right now.
So jump in your time machine.
Okay.
What? How old's...
Elias? 2. He'll be 2 next week.
Okay, that's not too far of a jump, but jump back 2 years.
All right.
What would you tell yourself?
What would I say to myself 2 years from now? I'd say to myself, have a kid. Because you have
to. Well, at that point, you're already walking out of the shower naked, so it's too late. You missed that part.
No, you know.
Shan just wanted to go back and play video games.
There's only so many movies you can go to when it's the 2 of you. There's only so many places you can go and experience. Once you have a child, you really you learn the meaning of life and the sacrifice that a parent has to give.
What would you drop back and tell? Even drop back before you were, if you could travel back to before you were married, since you married into a great little daughter there. 4? She was 4, you said?
Yeah.
When you got married? Jump back to that point. What advice would you give yourself in hindsight, playing Monday morning quarterback? What could you tell yourself that would make the last number of years
I would
easy?
Say jump in the DeLorean and just track forward like 20 years. No. I'm kidding. I would say, in a few words, I would say savor the moments. They grow up so fast.
Yeah.
They're so precious. It's like Nate was saying earlier, it's like, how did you learn that when yesterday you were just Yeah. Barely crawling around. Just, they grow up so fast, you know.
Be patient. Like, just instead of, like, my son wants to be involved in everything. He wants to help with the dishes. He wants to help with the laundry. And by saying no, 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 because you can do it faster, if you're patient and just let him throw a shirt in or do this or that, they feel so much a part of what you're doing, and they're so much happier. Just be patient. Do the best you can. Show him everything, because there's going to be a time where he doesn't want to do the laundry.
Yeah.
take advantage of it now.
Anthony's really good. He loves working around the house. He loves it. I think I would say, I don't know what I would tell myself. That's another good thing about being an older father. I don't remember much about last week. So pretty much anything I tell myself would be new information.
I'd tell myself to invest in Apple, iPads.
That was only 2 years ago, Nate. You wouldn't have that much money.
My bad. That's
all right. Anything else you guys want to...
Can we talk about car seats real quick?
Yeah, talk about whatever you want.
Like, I didn't realize there was such a big part and just a safety thing. I was going to make mine out of 2x4s to save some money.
Duct tape.
JC tells me, my oldest, she tells me that she remembers, like, when mom would drop her off and dad would pick her up, she would have the car seat. She'd have to drag the car seat across campus and all the kids would laugh at her.
Oh, man.
Now, when did they come up? Did you guys have car seats when you were kids?
No, that's a good point. When we were kids, I mean, you could ride on the hood of the car. Nobody cared. Yeah. You know what I mean?
First thing my dad did when he bought, he only bought a couple of new cars. The very first thing he did was get a wrench and take out the seat belts.
Yep.
And then he had an old Volks. He bought a 71 or 72 VW Beetle.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And he cut them because that was the first car we had that would beep if they weren't.
Oh,
it would
yeah.
buzz. So he cut the seat belt, so he just had the clip, and he plugged it in.
I used to work on my tan when I was 8 in the back window on long vacations. So, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of apparatus when he came along. But he likes it. We kind of surprised, because I don't think any law enforcement listens to this. There's times we let him drive the car. Well, we're in an acre, so he gets to drive it. We got that van that broke down today. It's a big Chevy van, so there's like a big space between the two front seats.
Yeah.
So in the yard, he'll stand there and drive, and I'll sit in the driver's seat.
See, teach him when you're young.
But he does it real good when we got to back up. He'll put his arm on the seat.
Oh, wow. All pro?
Yeah, he does pretty good.
Good man.
Oh, this is some good advice I'd give myself. Don't honk the horn to draw your wife's attention when you're giving him a ride on the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
That's
too much attention to yourself.
But every once in a while, like in a parking lot or if we're moving the car in the yard, I'll say, okay, here, you can sit in the front seat, you know, with no car seat or anything. And I can see the look on his face. He's excited, but he's not sure because he's so used. It's like a security blanket that now he's in a booster seat. Hmm. But it's, you don't like riding without your booster seat, huh? No? How come? Does Papa go to jail? Hey, if I went to jail, would you bake me a cake with a file in it?
He'd at least send you a card with the Batman logo on
it. When you first brought him home for the first day that he was born, did the nurse come out with you guys and escort him out and check on the car seat and make sure?
No.
Think so.
Really?
Not on mine.
That happened to us. She checked it out.
Wow. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. Yeah. I think they just wanted to make sure we had. But we had already, we might have even had it in there already because it was one of those that came apart.
That was the most nerve-wracking ride home ever. Like, I was like 10 and 2, blinkers.
How long were you in after he was born? It was a few days, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't remember that, Anthony? What's the first... Here, come here. What's the first thing you remember? What's the very first thing you remember?
Ever.
And if you say this morning, I'm going to wrestle you. Come here. What's the first thing you remember? Of anything.
What's your first memory that you ever...
What's your first memory? Is it... How nice Pop is? Is that it? No? What's Elias call you?
Elias calls me just Dada. Or he calls me... Yeah.
What are you gonna, when he's older, are you going to have him call you father?
Oh, no.
Your
no.
Highness?
No. Oh. Oh.
Your Excellency.
Lord.
Yes, my lord.
Lord Peabody.
What do your kids call you?
Dad, dad, dad.
Dad? Yeah. He calls me Pop. What did that? Why did that start? I don't remember.
What nicknames do you guys have?
He used to call me Matt. I remember that.
What nickname do you have for your kid?
It's
appropriate ones.
No,
Mr. Stinky Pants?
No, we get emails from a lady, legitimate emails from a lady called, what's her name? Mrs. Stinky Foot Lady.
Oh.
I created an account, send him emails. You started calling him Pumpkin, and then he's like there's a long line of Anthony Santoses in our family.
Oh, okay.
My dad's father was Anthony. His oldest son, my uncle Tony, Anthony, but they were all Tonys. Tony Santos. My oldest brother, Tony, is Anthony Santos. He's Anthony Santos. I just assumed it would translate into a Tony because they've all been Tonys.
Okay.
He's like the only Anthony.
Oh, nice.
But I was calling him Uncle Tony when he was a little bit.
That's cool.
Because my Uncle Tony was my favorite uncle. So it kind of morphed a combination of Pumpkin and Uncle. I call him Unky, and I don't even know why. It's just Unky.
Unky.
My mom actually gave Delaney her nickname. She would just to see how she's doing today. She would ask you, what are you today? Are you Dynamite or are you Dynamite? That tell you hints her mood. So she usually picked Dynamite. So that was her nickname for that.
I went year not too long actually before we got married. I went back to school for a job thing, and I had to go back to school and to a junior college in California. And at the time, I was 26, 27, and everybody in there was like 18, 19. So they started calling me Pops because I was like the oldest kid in the class. And there's a couple of guys that I'm still in contact with that I do work with, and they still call me Pops. Hey, Pops, what's going on? And so when he came around, I just kind of continued. I had different things that I worked with and stuff, and it was Pops was like my login and stuff like that.
Okay.
But it was always Pops. And that dad was dad when we were growing up, so I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, when I used to play basketball with my dad with some other guys, when I would get open, I'd be like, dad, 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 dad. And so the other people would like make fun of him. Like, and I don't know. It's just that's always your dad, no matter what, you know. And it's like then when you see your pops get older, health problems, it makes you just think, man, wow, time goes fast.
Yeah.
So spend the moments you do have with your kid and do the best you can.
That's good advice. As I have my son at 10 o'clock in a bar.
Learning a lot.
He was on the stage of the Birdcage a few months ago. So. That's one thing. He does have an interesting little vocational tour of the area. Across the way here at the arena, Marco, the Piacinero, the Sun Dogs coach, when they started, he had like 15 kids. He actually had like 5 sons or whatever, however many he had. But they all grew up in that arena. And I used to think about that. It was so cool watching them kind of run in the arena because their dad was the GM. And I was mentioning that to somebody one time when he was probably 3 or 4 or 5, maybe, I don't know. And I said, man, it's cool how Marco's kids kind of have run of this place. And she looked at me, she goes, what are you talking about? I go, well, you know, because they grew up here and... You know, they just kind of, this is their playground. And she goes, that's what Anthony does. And I got to think, he was only a couple of months old when he went to his first hockey game. And he kind of grew up in that arena. So when he goes in there, even now, it's kind of like it's old home for him.
Cool.
But he's been concerts and ball games.
Nice.
Sidelines and yes, wow. A bar or two.
Gets to see a lot. Good kid.
He's all right. Well, I think we're good.
All right.
Anything you want to add, or
can I call you Pop?
Papa Santos.
There was another reason they called me Pops, but I'll tell you that later. I think we're good.
All right.
Well, that's our show. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, check out awesomesteve.com, Steve Simone's website, where you can download his latest release, What's Up, Nerds, where I, again, I had the privilege of sitting down and listening to him record that, watching him do so at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, California. Also use our Amazon link and the Audible link at milehighshow.com, a great way for you to support this podcast and help us keep a little money in the kitty. Again, check out awesomesteve.com. Steve Simone, good friend of mine. Enjoy talking with him every chance I can get, and I'm looking forward to downloading that album myself. What's up, nerds, at awesomesteve.com. That's our show. Thanks for tuning in. And you hear about that new breed, babe. And no drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Like a boomer.